Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. We want to be reminded of the theme verse of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews number 13. 13 is the theme verse. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And, of course, that is a great theme. It still is the great theme today, isn't it? One of the great tests of life in Christianity, and we're even reminded of it today, is to be willing to bear the reproach of Christ. And much of Christianity today wants to have the world and its approval and its lack of reproach and have Christ at the same time. And of course, Hebrews is that great illustration of the setting of the Jewish Christians being tempted to go back to practice Judaism and to forsake that public profession of Christ, because in their minds, you might say, they could legitimatize worshiping God according to the Old Testament way and not having the persecution of standing for Christ and going outside the camp and bearing his reproach. And still the same issue is today, isn't it? Maybe a little bit different setting, but that's the same dilemma people are facing today. Follow Christ. It's a lot easier if you can follow God without the reproach. And that's what the Hebrew Christians were contemplating, Hebrews chapter 3. Now we find that Paul, I think it was Paul, is giving the great argument that they ought not to forsake Christ because Christ was far, far superior to the hero of the Old Covenant and to the hero of the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple worship, and that was Moses, the great hero of the Jewish people. Even today is Moses. And so there is a beginning here of really dealing with the specifics of the Jewish worship, as Moses is the man that God called and God instructed him as to the specifics of the tabernacle. And he built the tabernacle, established the Jewish worship, and now we find this parallel, not this parallel, this comparison of Christ and Moses. So, Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Again, I think there's an inference here, partakers of the heavenly calling. They were really focusing on going back to an earthly worship of God versus a heavenly one. And so he is, again, striking this over again. Then consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And here's the only place that the word apostle is used of Christ, and he is the sent one. Of course, maybe there's another inference to Moses, because he was sent by the Lord from Midian to go back to Egypt and deliver the people. But the Lord Jesus wasn't sent from Midian. Jesus was sent from heaven. And he came to fulfill God's will. But even more than that, When we think of Christ as the sent one, we realize that Moses was sent in time, 1446 B.C., whereas Christ was sent in time before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter tells us that Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world to come and to die on Calvary's cross as the Lamb of God. So again, all the words here are just paralleling Moses with Christ, and Christ is far superior. And so it tells us that verse 5, Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. We find here Moses was faithful as a servant. Now, how many have remembered reading in Exodus the building of the tabernacle? How many remember reading about all the dimensions of the tabernacle two times? You ought to be able to remember that much. How many remember reading it twice? Raise your hand. Okay. Did you ever ask yourself why it was written in there twice? Well, the reason was because the first time it was God giving Moses the orders of how to build the tabernacle. The second time, if you notice, the wording is exactly the same, because the second time it's mentioned, now it tells us how Moses built the tabernacle. In other words, he built it exactly with according to the dimensions and the specifics that God had given him about the tabernacle. And as our text says, that Moses was faithful in all his house. He was a faithful servant. He gave the people the word. He built the tabernacle exactly according to the specifications that God gave. But Moses was merely establishing an earthly tabernacle. Turn with me to Hebrews 9. And it tells us about Moses' tabernacle. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, there's two important words there, verse 23, that the tabernacle was a pattern of things in the heavens. Verse 24, that these things were figures of the true. And so the earthly tabernacle was built as a pattern of the throne of God and the very presence of God in heaven, so that man might understand the heavenly kingdom and the approach to a heavenly God. And so Moses built this earthly tabernacle, established an earthly ministry. But Christ, this tabernacle was only a pattern of the temple and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that was going to take place in heaven. Again, we have the comparison between Moses and Jesus. Going back to Hebrews, it says that Moses was faithful in all his house, but this man, verse 3, was counted more worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And so Moses may have built an earthly tabernacle, and that was inferior to the heavenly tabernacle that was in heaven. And he was an earthly builder, but Christ has built all things. He's the creator of all things. There's not anything made that was not made by him. And by him, all things are even held together, even today. Again, there's some value judgments here. The Jews, he's trying to tell them, you know, you want to go back to Moses? He might be high ranking up there, but his rank is nothing compared to Christ. And what he did was great. He was faithful. But it was nothing in comparison to what the Lord Jesus did. Now here is a little point of reasoning. Here is a little point of logic. You know, even as the Bible uses logic, come now, let us reason together. Okay, that person, that Jew who is going back to Moses, what is he doing? He is going to leave that which is superior and go back to that which is inferior. Now, if you got saved, if you are saved, you ought to compare your life before you were saved versus your life after you were saved. Now, I was saved in 1968. And in 1968, there was still these Volkswagen bugs around. And you know what? They were really junky cars. I mean, you can say whatever you want about them, but they were terrible. I mean, you had to get a tune-up about every 1,000 miles. And everyone that I had two of them. And they were both a huge mess. I mean, they were the hottest car you could ever drive in the summer, and the coldest car you could ever drive in the winter. We had driving back and forth to college. We had to have blankets in the car. We'd stop at McDonald's and get hot chocolate on the way back to college. And you could have to scrape the windows from the inside to get the frost off. I tell you what, that was a bad car. And, you know, I always figured, you know, getting saved is like trading in a Volkswagen for a Cadillac. Now, that's when Cadillacs were good cars. Now, they're not much good. But, you know, you ought to have a value system of your life before you're saved versus your life after you're saved. And if you want to make a value system, just like here, boy, I tell you what, go back to the world. Yeah, that's like going back to something that is just no comparison, so inferior. There isn't any logic to it at all. Now, there might be a little bit more subtle innuendos for a Jew to go back to Judaism, because at least there's Bible in it, but to go back to the world as a Christian, oh, there's just any sense in that at all. And so here's the comparison. And so Moses was a man. He was a servant. And he was a faithful servant. But he was merely, even as a servant, he was merely a type of Christ, the one who was to come. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse number 15. And here is Moses' statement. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. He will be a Jew of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Here it is. Here is Moses is a mere type of the prophet who is going to come later. And a mere type. And we get that inference of how Christ is so far superior to Moses, to the tabernacle, to the ministry. He said he was a servant in his house. And we think of some of the other comparisons. Hebrews chapter 8 and 9 talk about that house that Moses built. In Hebrews 8, it says in verse 1, of now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Moses, a man, pitched an earthly temple. Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, pitched a heavenly tabernacle. And then, just for sake of time, in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. And here we have Christ, his position was the son. He was the heir. Moses is merely a servant. Here is one who is over the house. He is the heir. And he is the one who brings in a new covenant. Moses brought in an old covenant. And an inferior covenant. And so we see the comparison of Moses, the versus the Lord Jesus Christ. And even today, Jewish people hold up Moses, revere him, hold him up. And he is the one who brought in the old covenant, but the Lord Jesus is far superior. The Lord Jesus was before time. Moses was in time. Moses built an earthly tabernacle. It was merely a type of the heavenly tabernacle. Moses was a builder in God's plan, part of God's house. The Lord Jesus built the universe and is over all the house. Moses is a servant. Christ is the son, the heir. And we have all these great comparisons. And it is good to make comparisons of the thinking of the choices that we make. And we need to do the same thing. You know, I think today we have people have to make a choice. Oh, they can go. Everyone wants to, everybody in their right mind wants to be saved. But many of those people, they want the world plus Jesus. And the Bible is basically saying there isn't really a choice. There's really no middle. There's no real middle ground. To turn to the world is to turn to Christ. Turn from Christ. To turn to Judaism is to turn from Christ. Is to turn from the very one that the Jewish religion looked to. And so, even tonight, perhaps we ought to apply that. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Have you compared the systems? You know, can a Christian, a real Christian, function as a Christian in a Catholic church? Not at all. Not at all. And we could go on through that elaboration. Could a real Christian function in a Lutheran church? Not at all. Not at all. Salvation by faith versus salvation by works? There's no comparison. Can a Christian function in a dead Protestant church? Doesn't preach the gospel? Not at all. There's a form, but there's no life. Can a Christian who has a heavenly calling, can they really function as living in the world and earthly carnal basis? No. There's no real comparison. Can't function. And we need to make these evaluations. And even as we mentioned at the very beginning, the big issue, even as was faced with the Hebrew Christians, was the reproach of Christ. It costs something to follow Jesus Christ. It costs something. And still, that is still the number one issue today, the reproach of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to bear his reproach? Or do you want the acceptance of the world? Do you want the acceptance of the ease of false religion versus the cross, the self-denial of Christ? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight and the choice of the choices of life. And Lord, we realize that even as the Jewish people we're making decisions and contemplations, that the real decision was to turn from Christ in order to turn to Judaism. And even that is still the decision today, would be to turn from Christ to all these other things. And to turn from that which is superior, to turn to that which is inferior. To turn from that which is heavenly, to turn to that which is carnal and earthly. And Lord, help us to not just be led along by the whims of life, but help us to evaluate the decisions of life. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, perhaps even tonight you have been going through in life this contemplation. What are you going to do with Christ? You profess to know Christ, but you want Christ in the world at the same time. Need to evaluate that decision. Evaluate the value system and the biblical basis. And perhaps even tonight the Lord is speaking to you about bearing his reproach, being unashamed of doing what's right, and giving your life to follow Christ as you ought. And God is speaking to your heart tonight. Say, Pastor, pray with me. The Lord is speaking to my heart. but not being ashamed of Jesus Christ and bearing his reproach. Anyone here tonight, just lift your hand up. God is speaking to you about that. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Others, God is speaking to your heart. Okay, amen. All right, amen. God is speaking to you about bearing the reproach of Christ, not being ashamed of the reproach of Christ. There's a cost. Okay, amen. Okay, and others? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay. Lord, now thank you for your people. Thank you for your Spirit working, helping us to evaluate the choices of life and even the spiritual warfare that we are in. Help us, Lord, to contemplate correctly and to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and evaluate everything in a biblical, sound manner. We pray for your people that are perhaps being tested, are being challenged. I pray that you would help them, even tonight, to be clear and decisive in that commitment to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.